You got your Bible? Daniel chapter number 6 and verse 1. Daniel 6 and verse 1. The Bible said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. The king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful. Neither was there any error or fault in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Verse number 10 says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God." I want to preach, if the Lord will help me this morning, I want you to think on this title. Could they arrest you for being a Christian? When I read this Bible, Daniel was one of the best Christians. If you want to use the word Christian, I know they were first called Christians in Antioch. I understand that. He is truly a follower of God and a man that feared God and obeyed him. And out of the Bible, Daniel was one of the best, if I can use that word, followers of our God as any man I read about. This man had some evidence in him that he was a God follower and a Christian. I wonder what kind of evidence we'd have on us. How long would they have to search us and look after us to see really what we're like? Now, in the scripture I read this morning, there was 120 princesses. There's three presidents making up the offices here. Daniel was first. And the 120 princesses and them other two presidents didn't like the authority that Daniel had, no doubt, he being a Jew in Babylon in captivity, that they wanted to find something on this man that they might find charge to fault him. Right. And they could not find it. They couldn't find nothing wrong with him, for as his wife, they looked at him. No doubt they followed him. They watched him. And everything they saw about Daniel, it was something about God and his law. And they said here, they said, "We can't find no fault in this man. And unless we find it, it'll have to be concerning the law of his God." Well, I will tell you what a good testimony that is. I mean, you think about that. That convicted me when I was reading it, that God Almighty said that about Daniel. It said that Daniel's testimony was he loved God, kept the law of God, walked in God, and what a good testimony. I say amen to it. Boys, I'm telling you, if there's going to be any good about us, it'll be because God's in us, because God gave us a desire to obey Him and follow Him. I'm saying when they looked at Daniel and they're trying to find fault in him, they gave a testimony of him. That's not what Daniel said about himself. This is what the enemy said about him. That's pretty good, isn't it? Boy, you might get your family to say some good things about you every once in a while. Say, you know, he's a pretty good old boy. He goes to church on Sunday. Wednesday and reads his Bible and prays. And they still know some things about you. They say, well, but, you know, he done this one time or she done that. And then you might find some church members that'll say some good things about you. But you know, Daniel had his enemies to say this about him. He said, this man, we've looked after him. We tried to find fault in him. The only thing we're going to ever be able to get on him is concerning the law of his God. I mean, wonder what kind of testimony we're bearing amongst the... I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about them on the outside.
Yeah.
Them people you work with, them people you go to school with, and them people in your family and in your friendships, and just in your daily life. I wonder what they see in your testimony and my testimony, what calls them to say, I see Brother Hyde, and I hadn't found him nothing against him. Amen. He keeps the law of his God.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be a good testimony. I don't know if anybody'd say that or not. About me or you. He had a good testimony. He said an excellent spirit was in him. That meant to me that he never got a bad attitude. He never got an attitude and he never had he never said nothing that was contrary to the way God told him to talk. That just every time you got around him, you'd have to say when he left, boy, that fella had a good spirit about him, had an excellent spirit about him.
Yeah.
That was his testimony. And you know, think about this here. This crowd here, they was wanting to get him out of office. And they could not find one thing. They couldn't put their finger on one thing about this man and his testimony for the law of his God. I like that, don't you? I'm telling you this morning, friend. Hey, we ought to draw up to God and be honest with him and say, Lord, I'm not where I ought to be with you today. And God, I need to draw to you. And get right with you, and I might bear a good testimony like Daniel did, because somebody's looking at me, and I know that I'm bearing the name of God. And when I walk out of this church, I'm going to have to walk bearing the name of God, His law, and I might obey God, because my testimony tells other people what God is like.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right. So they said, well, we know he prays. And what we'll do is we'll tell the king that if he'll sign the decree that nobody can pray to him, nobody can pray to nobody else but him for 30 days.
Yeah.
Nobody can go make a petition in 30 days but to the king Darius. That was the decree that they wanted him to sign. You know, they knew how to attack the king because it flattered him. No doubt that nobody could make a petition, nobody but the king for 30 days. Could you imagine going for 30 days without ever talking to God? Some of you go 30 days, 60 days probably, and never call on God. Daniel, you know what the Bible said? That the king looked at that decree, and the king, and God looked at it, and he signed it. And it was, if anybody prayed to any God within 30 days that they would be cast into the den of lions. That was the punishment of calling on any God, or calling on anybody for a petition in 30 days. If they done that, then they'd have to go to the den of lions.
Yeah.
Daniel knew they signed the decree.
Yes, he did.
Well, he's a Christian. It didn't matter what the government said, it didn't matter what God said.
Yeah.
You better get something in your heart. We're going to go in some hard times. I saw the other day in the Post, and God help, I don't even like to bring this up. It's a shame and disgrace. Trying to go up there, same-sex marriage, trying to get licensed to go up there and want to marry. I'm telling you, we're in last day times. I could not understand in my own heart why we've gone so backward and so reprobate in this day in our country that we've turned from this natural sin. I'm talking about, friend, that's unnatural. That's not even natural. I'm telling you, when people live that kind of lifestyle, God's cut that crowd off and they've left the way of God. God made a man natural and he made a woman natural. And he said they changed the natural use. And that's what they've done. They've left the natural use. And they went men after men and women after women. And God said it's an abomination. It's un, natural. And God said, I'll give them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. That's right. And I want you to look at me this day. Look up here what I'm about to say, and I don't say it without any apology. If you back any of that or you hold hands with that, then you just as bad as they are. God help us. I'll tell you what Daniel would have said. He'd have said it's against the law of God. That's right. So Daniel, when the decree was signed, he went up to his house, went to the upper room of his house, and his window was opened back toward Jerusalem. That's home. That's where the temple was. And he got down on his knees and started praying. I guarantee you he didn't think twice about it. That was his practice. His practice was to pray. He prayed three times a day. The psalmist said, even in the morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, he shall hear my voice. I believe that that was the hour of prayer back in the temple that this Jew boy was a practicing. And he knew that he had to pray to God. And if he didn't pray to God, he wouldn't be heard of God. And it didn't matter what the king's had inside. It didn't matter what the decree was. Thank God he didn't lead in silent prayer. He went ahead and cried out to God and prayed. You ever thought what it'd be like couldn't pray for 30 days? Wouldn't be nobody getting no help from God. That's right. Do you know the greatest avenue you have in Christian life is the avenue of prayer? That's right, to be able to call to God and pray. I'm glad I don't have to have a priest to pray for me. I'm glad I don't have to go to the Pope. Amen. He don't know God anyhow. He's just putting on a religious show. I'm glad I can go right into the Holy of Holies. Thank God. That's right. The temple's been rent. Amen. The veil of the temple has. And now we have access into it. Thank God. We don't have to go to man to get a hold of for them to pray for us. Amen. Where's one mediator between God and me and the man Christ Jesus? I'm glad I can call upon him. I wonder this morning, could they ever arrest you and come to your house and say, we got to take this man out of jail? Because I found him praying.
Yeah.
Some of you hadn't prayed in a while. Some of you's never prayed much. And some of you's never, your children never heard you pray. When's the last time you really prayed? Have you got a place back at your house like Daniel had where he went to pray? I'm not talking about, I think you ought to pray over your meals.
Yeah.
Some people make more deal of that than they do secret prayer.
Yeah.
Boy, somebody said they didn't pray over that food there. Well, I'll tell you what, it'd be more important to be in your secret place praying. And I don't say Daniel went back there and prayed. He got on his knees. I like the way his position was. He got humble before the God of heaven and got on his knees and began to pray and call on God. I wonder if there's any evidence in your life of how you live and how you walk. If would there be any evidence that they could come and say this man's guilty of being a Christian and he's going to be arrested for living right and praying unto God, friend. And I'm telling you what, I wonder what somebody would say about you this morning. He got down to pray and they come in and found him praying. That's a good place to be found, praying.
Amen.
That's right. And he said, we're going to have to take him to the king. He's broke the decree of the king. Amen. I won't say today, you better be more fearful of God than man.
Amen.
Well, I look at my life and you say, well, I go to church on Sunday. There's a lot of people who go to church. And I don't know if I'd charge that with evidence, but I'd charge it against you if you don't come. I'd say they said they as a Christian. Yeah. Here's the Lord's Day and they at the ball game or the racetrack.
Yeah.
Instead of the house of God. Amen, preacher.
Right.
That's right. Your testimony and your praying is evidence of what you are. Amen. I can't put on today and say, well, I think I act like I'm a Christian or put on a Christian uniform. There's no such a thing. It's Christ that's got to be put on you and put in you. And that's what it'll take. They found Daniel down there in his house praying. And they said, we found him praying. He's broken the decree of the king. He's got me thrown in the den of lions. Hey, friend. Hey, have they found you praying lately? When's the last time somebody heard you pray?
Yeah. Right.
I understand, no, he wasn't praying to be heard of men. He wasn't a Pharisee like that crowd. He'd go down to the synagogue and pray out loud, or on the street corner and pray out loud, and somebody could say, oh, what a beautiful prayer they're praying. Oh, no, he went to God. It was a relationship. It was a time he had fellowship with God. But he'd go to that room and cry out to God and get on his knees and pray out to God. I tell you, they found him praying. They said, this man's praying. He was guilty of it, thank God. I tell you, I'd like to be found guilty of praying like this man prayed. Because there's evidence in his life that he was a follower of Jehovah God. That's right. Amen. I wonder if they got any evidence on you today. Got any evidence on you reading your Bible? Come to your house and say, where's your Bible? You got the Reader's Digest out and all these other cosmopolitans and all these other books, you know, people bring in. And you'll say, come in their house and they'd say, what you got here? Amen. What's the book in this house? And they believe, and you know, they always reading these novels and all this fictitious stuff. I just don't like fiction. I'm not trying to be hard. I like something that's real. Amen. That's what people want to hear. That's what that means over there in the Bible when they said they'll not endure sound doctrine after the lust shall they heap themselves teachers having itching ears when they turn their ears from the truth unto fables. Fables mean fictitious tales.
Right.
You know, fiction don't bring conviction.
Right.
Like it. Fiction don't bring conviction. Only the truth will bring conviction on the heart. And what you're doing and what I'm doing. And they said, we saw them people down at the Westside Baptist Church, and they carried the Bible down the church, and we went in, we saw Brother Craig singing, and we seen him strutting on his head to the man of God, and we went back to the house, and he was reading his Bible, and we saw him praying, amen, and we saw him being good to his wife and his children, and we know, thank God, that's got to be God to cause a man to want to live right and do right. I mean, that just don't happen. It's God that's got a hold of that people. Amen.
Yeah.
That's right. Amen. He said, we saw that lady down there. She's a modest looking lady, kind lady, meek lady, sweet lady, singing the songs of Zion. Amen. And when they left the church, I saw them be awful nice to their husband. We didn't sneak up on their house and hear her cursing him. And we checked that thing out, that man down there, when he went down to the plant. Hey, man, when them boys got together to tell them jokes, that was off color. We'd see him walk away and bow his head and pray for them men that they might get right with God.
Yeah.
And we saw Daniel down there, thank God, to worship. And him and the three Hebrews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's something different about them. Thank God, they're not like the rest of the people. It don't matter what the family says. It don't matter what anybody else says. They'd rather go with God than anybody else.
Amen.
They was Jews in Babylon. They was in a foreign country. Daniel's life was spent there in captivity. And God used him. And they went to looking what was wrong with him. All he could find was he's a law-abiding, God-fearing man, and he prays. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen. I like that. Thank God. He said, I never have saw him. I've never saw him get out of sorts. Saw him have the right spirit in him all the time. Boy, I've been working on that in my life. Having the right spirit.
Yeah, yes.
It's taken a lot of work. Now, I understand God's the giver of grace and giving a man a spirit a right spirit, but it's taking some work in my heart to keep the right spirit and live by the right spirit.
Yeah.
I tell you, people, they're like roller coasters. They're like yo-yos. They're up and down all the time. One day you don't know what kind of attitude they're going to be in, and you better not even say hello to them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then another day they get mad because you don't say hello. And you don't know what you're getting when you even talk to them.
Right.
God have mercy on us. To have the right spirit. And when people look at us and say, hey, they believe different than me, but I tell you, there's something about them people down there that love God and love one another and want to live for God and have the right spirit within them. I'm preaching this morning. If they could arrest you, do they have any evidence that could arrest you for being a Christian? Well, they got enough on us probably to not be in one sometimes.
Yeah.
Have you ever thought about that? Listen to what I'm about to say. Listen to what I'm about to say. Everything we do affects the glory of God.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Amen.
Now, if we look at it like that, it'll change us.
Yes.
It'll change us. Listen to me. And I ain't being funny. I'm preaching to myself. It'll change us on how we answer everybody.
Amen.
It'll change us down at the restaurant when it takes them 15 minutes to wait on your table and 15 minutes to get you your food. And they say, I'm sorry that I hadn't been here no earlier. And you say, well, it has been awful long. It'll change you, thank God, when people don't talk to you right.
Yeah.
You feel like somebody done you wrong? If you get the right spirit within you, assault that or turn away wrath, and you'll pray for them in your own heart and say unto God, I need to treat them like God wants me to treat them.
Right. Yeah.
And they say, you know, that man didn't even get mad because I shorted him out of a dollar bill. See, we're more concerned about everything else than we are God and the glory of God.
Yeah.
We say, Daniel, I mean, all they can find on you is the law of your God. And you've lived right, you've done right, and your testimony is above reproach. And you've been faithful to God, and you prayed anyhow. And now, Daniel, you're going to the den of lions. You know God's in charge of every beast of the field.
Yes, yes.
I can see the king saying, Daniel, I hate it. Now I wish I had never signed it.
Oh, yeah, he did.
He said, we've got to put you in there. Can't break the signet, the signing of the decree. I can see him taking Daniel up to the mouth of that pit. That's what that den was a pit. Him walking up there and they getting him there and they take him and they say, come on. He walks in amongst the lions. They put that big old stone there. I can see Darius looking down saying, oh me, that's a God-fearing man.
Sure did.
He hollered down there at Daniel. I said, Daniel, that God you serve, I know He's able to deliver you.
That's
right. That God you serve.
Yeah.
Not that money you serve.
Right.
Not that religion you serve,
right,
but that God you serve. Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Put him in there.
Amen.
King went back to the house, didn't have no music at night, couldn't eat, couldn't sleep, stayed up all night, worried to death of what was going to happen to Daniel. Amen. He worried more than Daniel did.
Yeah.
Daniel was in the lions, in there with the lions. And when Daniel went in there, thank God, and the lions' natural reaction was to attack him and take his life, thank God, they come up and smelled him. And for some reason, they couldn't open their mouths. That's right. Thank God. I mean, that Bible said that God shut their mouth. They couldn't even open their mouth. I'm glad I know that kind of God. I'm glad I know He's a God that can deliver me from sin and danger. I'm telling you, if you'll serve Him, He'll do that for you. Amen.
That's
right. Thank God. How many times He shut the lion's mouth on you? I'll tell you what He done. He shut the lion's mouth of death. Because that's what that mouth of the lion was going to kill him. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. He shut the lion's mouth of death on the resurrection day, brother. Thank God on resurrection day, Jesus shut the lion's mouth of death. He rose again the third day according to Scripture. And He come out of the grave. Praise God, the grave couldn't hold Him. I'm saying, thank God that Jesus Christ, when He rose again, He shut the lion's mouth of death. Thank God. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm kind of like Brother Joe. He probably used them for a pillow that night. But boys, I believe I'll just sleep all right.
Amen.
Probably a pretty furry pillow, I reckon.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The lions probably, thank God, didn't do much growling. They probably done some little purring. That's the cat family anyhow.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's right. You know them cats, they'll come up. I used to have one, and I ain't never preached against cats. Some of y'all might get mad.
Yeah.
I have to preach against dogs then. And I've got one. I've had a cat or two. Them cats, they'll pull up on your leg. That's what they do. You ever heard them purr? Get that purr in them?
Yeah.
That's right. They turn that motor on, brother. They purring on you, son. They say, I want you to rub me. Amen. Hold me. That's right. Let's say family, the cat and the lion. It's all a cat family.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I think. I know the Bible don't say it, but thank God, God shut the mouths of them lions, and I believe they kind of just purred up against Him. Amen.
Yeah.
And when they laid down, I believe Daniel said, I just believe I'll use one of them for a pillow to lay on and have a good night's rest. I'm glad, thank God, if you live for God, it'll turn out all right. It don't, listen, God's going to take care of you. It don't matter where you're at. Hey, how the world's full of a bunch of lions, and they won't destroy you, but I tell you they can't, because God is going to watch after you. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank God. The next morning, King got up. He walked in there and he said, that's what the book says. Thank God, the king, he got up and he said, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? That's what he cried out to Daniel. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Have a good long life. He said, my God, I like it, has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him he was innocent, was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Bible said it made the king happy. He took him out of the den. And he started looking across that province and he said, hey, where's that crowd that accused Daniel? Where's he at? And they said, sir, you come here. Now, as far as I know, and I believe my count's right, there was over 300, counting them men, their wives, and their children. You say, that's pretty rough, preacher. Well, let me say this. There's a lot of people and families had to suffer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For what the man of the household does.
Yeah.
You look back at Achan. When Achan sinned against God, his whole crowd got stoned and burned. And he says, I'll tell you, every one of them is going in the den of lions. Over 300 people got thrown in the den of lions. And every one of them. Every one of them. The lions had mastery over and took care of them. And he said, the God of Daniel. That God of Daniel. He's the true and living God. That's right. I was sitting there the other night with a family. And I said, preacher, my boys question the Bible. He said, and man wrote the Bible. And I said, well, he's probably never had an experience with the God of the Bible. Because this Bible was settled in heaven before there was a man.
Yeah.
And it'll have to be by faith. And you know what I thought about? How that the lines of this world and the lines of the of society have tried to master over unbelievers down at the house of God.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got in their minds and got in their own hearts to question God. But I'm telling you, Brother Robert, when we leave out of here, I want somebody to say, thank God, He is God. His God. His God had delivered him.
Yeah.
They saw God deliver him. They saw His God was the one that delivered him. I tell you what, he said it had some evidence of him being a Christian. Amen. Well, you can't steal and cheat. Not pay your bills. Not do right. And expect God to put His good approval on you. I mean, just getting down pure and honest. Now, I'll tell you what. There'd be some people, if you went to and said, do you know Joel Hyatt? They'd say, and they'd say, why are you doing that for? I don't like the, what he said down there at the church preaching.
Yeah.
But it'd be bad if they said, yeah, I know him. He owes me $500. Or he owes me $200. And he promised me he'd pay me. My boy, he's an observant person. He knows every car. He could tell you what kind of car you drive. And they say, you know what kind of car, old brother? I said, I don't know. I don't look at it. He was about 15, I reckon, at the time. 16. And this old man we know, and I don't say that irreverently, we went by his house one day, lived near us, and we was talking to him. He was talking about church, you know. Yeah. He said, I go to the church. I'm not going to name the church. It's a Baptist church. The man said he went to the Baptist church. And one day we was coming down Jake Alexander, and Matt said, Daddy? I said, yeah. He said, there's Mr. So-and-so's truck there at the liquor store. And I said, that his truck? He said, yeah. He said, I thought he told me he went to church. Don't get quiet on me.
Come on.
Yeah. We're talking about evidence. Now, I tell you what I'm preaching, everybody in this church get on the altar this morning and weep. It ain't just a liquor store. It's how we treat people.
Yeah.
Because, brother, I'm telling you what, when they said that about Daniel, said that man's got a testimony, we can't find nothing wrong with him concerning the law of his God.
Yeah.
And then he had a testimony, and we found him praying up there at his house. A we found out who his God was. Yeah. I wonder if they could arrest you for being a Christian. You say, Brother Hunt, why don't you get a haircut? Because I like it. It's like getting a haircut. And what would y'all think if I come in here with hair down my back? Somebody said, man, what's wrong with the preacher? He's been gone hippie. I used to be a hippie when I was in school. That was a fad, you know. One day I went to the barber shop. My daddy said you didn't get enough cut off, so he gave me his haircut, and then I had to go back. So I got 3 haircuts in a day. And they say, I wonder why that fellow, I mean, he looks like a man. And that woman out there, that covering on her head, thank God, that long hair that's her covering, and that modest apparel, it's a little different than what I've been looking at now at the regular church, where they wear the pants of church, and they wear everything else under the sun of the church, and they won't say they're going to reverence God. You say you're going to get on all that? Well, I'm on it. I'm not talking about sinners. I'm talking about church members. I'm talking about somebody seeing us and saying there's something different about that church. There's something different about how they act and how they dress and how they talk and how they treat one another. And the man of God down there, he's preaching the Word of God, and they're singing old time hymns, and they're trying to stamp the stuff. And there's some evidence I found out down at the church.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, they can't never accuse me of preaching out of another Bible. They can't accuse me of singing contemporary music. I'm not guilty of that. But I'll tell you, if you won't say guilty of preaching out of this Bible, preaching, thank God, the Word of God, preaching my friend the sinners, and telling them they got to repent, and preaching, thank God, in what God says, and singing the old-time hymns, and saying the old-time book, I tell you, let's go ahead and say guilty! He come and arrested him for being a Christian. Boy, what a testimony. I look through the Bible, and there's not many in the Bible like this man. Paul was awful close in the New Testament day. He was. It was his life. Joseph had some good signs. Just being totally dedicated to God, ran from sin, suffered, and thank God, ended up being blessed of God. What about you and me? I'll tell you this, and I'm through this morning. I preached a little longer than I wanted to. Listen to what I'm about to say. I'm not going to preach to you and not preach to myself. After reading this here, it brought some conviction on my life to let me know that there's a lot of work to do in walking in God's law like this. And I'll tell you what this morning, I'd want somebody to be able to say, there's some evidence on that man. He's a Christian. Peter couldn't even deny it, even though he did. He said, this man talks like one of them, and I seen him with Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, they said when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they learned, they seen they were unlearned, ignorant men, but they had been with Jesus. That's right. Let's stand this morning.